Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we've added into the studio with us another returning guest to the show, Julia Palmer, the president of the Capital Area Humane Society. Welcome back, Julia.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. I'm just sorry it's on such a serious and not so fun subject. It's much more fun to talk about the fur ball or something that's really cute
it is,
and
yes,
really
you're right.
Fun. But we've been talking this morning about some of the abuse cases that have been going on around Lansing, and to quote you from a newspaper article I've got in front of me, an extreme abuse case. Tell us about how Humane Society has been involved in this whole thing and what you've experienced.
Well, in reference to the case of the dog we call Tatiana, we did receive a call, and we work very cooperatively together with Ingham County Animal Control, and we went out on the case because it was clearly an emergency situation, and we got a call regarding this dog. So we do get involved in cruelty. Certainly, if we need to get help from animal controls, then we're on the phone with them, talking to them about the situation. But in terms of Tatiana, we got to the situation where she was at and picked her up and got the medical care she needed right away because she was in pretty bad shape.
And how is she doing now?
She's fantastic. She is, in most respects, a very normal dog now. She does still have some fear, and we don't know everything about her history, so we don't know if maybe her personality was fearful to begin with. Mm-hmm. But she has adjusted very well to a foster situation. She's living in a home right now, and she's a happy, physically healthy dog.
And you were mentioning it has some maybe fear for men. Is that something that's subsided? Is that something that's going to be with her for a long time? Do you have any idea?
Well, and we see dogs in all kinds of situations that are fearful of men. Men are a little more intimidating to dogs as a rule, so it may or may not mean anything. But she does have some anxiety in terms of men, especially bigger, taller men, and she will shy away or choose not to interact with men. So
sounds like my wife.
Yeah. I'll stay out of that. But, you know, we're not sure if that's going to get better or not. To be honest with you, some dogs are just fearful by nature. Every dog has a personality, so we haven't really discovered whether she's going to remain fearful, if it's situational, or if she is just...
But doesn't that kind of... Let's say you adopt it to a home.
Yes.
And there happens to be men there. Does that tend to soften for the actual pack of individuals that the dog is around, or is that something where you really should adopt her out to a situation where there aren't men?
Well, there'll always be men, from what I understand.
Thank God.
Thank God. I'm all for that.
But, you know,
big, tall men like you, Lee, they're still going to be around.
Well, that's good to hear.
That's what I understand. So, you know, we're going to look for a home or a situation that's very understanding of that. Every dog is going to probably encounter children, men. You know, dogs may have fears, and we're sensitive when we place a dog, but we'll probably place the dog into a situation where they're aware of that, so they can be mindful. And when in her foster home, she's gotten better with the men in the family, she has warmed up to them.
So it isn't that you're going to exclude men from that situation, they just need to know going into it that
might
not be
a challenge.
The warm and friendly relationship that they might have with somebody right off the bat. Right.
Exactly.
Now, how does it impact you in terms of being able to adopt out some of these dogs that have gone through some of these cases? Because I would imagine that once a dog has experienced cruelty, it becomes harder for that dog to warm up when that crowd of people come walking in thinking about adoption. So how do you overcome that obstacle?
Well, it's tough. You know, dogs that go through cruelty aren't always great adoption candidates. And certainly with her, we have some concerns. So, you know, it's case by case. And with her, we're going to find her a home. You know, it's just going to have to be a specialized situation in a particular home that can meet her needs.
Now, this is a pit bull. What percentage of your adoptees tend to be pit bulls?
We get, and I'd have to look at our statistics because obviously they fluctuate, but we get a large percentage. I'd say about 25% of the dogs may have pit bull mix or pit bull breed. We get a lot of pit bulls in.
And a lot of those from local. You know, a lot of those from local rescue type situations.
You know, it is. And across the country, pit bulls are becoming the number one breed in shelters. They've gone through a popularity surge for a lot of the wrong reasons. But we're seeing more and more pit bulls in shelters. And it's becoming a huge issue for shelters on having good adoption programs for pit bulls and finding appropriate adopters who understand the breed so they can provide appropriate care and a good home for them.
Sounds like a big challenge, but at the same time, you know, the problem isn't the breed, it's just the overall popularity and the inappropriate use of them, right?
Right. So it's a very complex problem. And we were fortunate enough to send our staff out to California to an organization called Bad Rap. So they went to a pit bull specialized rescue agency to learn how to select appropriate pit bulls for adoption and also how to select families that understand the breed, because that's really the key. You know, this older mentality that we just get rid of pit bulls because, you know, we're afraid of them. It's much better to be educated and to learn which pit bulls are appropriate for adoption and which homes can handle that responsibility. So it's been a nice thing. We've been doing that. We sent our staff in 2008 for that pit bull training, and we've had a formalized pit bull adoption program ever since.
And that probably, even though you sent the staff then, is there a way of keeping your new and incoming staff kind of abreast of that whole situation?
Yeah. I mean, we developed a behavior testing process from that training that we shared with all of our staff. And then we developed a formalized pit bull adoption program that is a manual. It's a process we use internally that all our staff is trained on.
That's fascinating. One thing I've noticed, too, is it seems like because there are so many incidents out there that are being publicized, it's creating the illusion that there are more and more animals that are just being left out there. Is that the case? Are you seeing where you've got more animals that are incoming versus outgoing? Or is it just a perception that's created because of the media coverage over the story?
You know, I don't know. We've been in the business of taking homeless animals since 1936. So, you know, you ask me if they're
more.
Been
around for a while.
You know, it's one of those things where we're in the position where we are constantly aware of how many animals are coming in and how many animals don't have homes. So that's a little hard to say.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, ever since I was 5 years old, we've been somehow or another, you know, going to the Humane Society and having an opinion back and forth of what the Humane Society is. And, you know, I just want to take time right now to kind of take my hat off and tip it to, you know, just like pet stores have evolved over the years and have become better in most cases, I've seen the Humane Society being a far more, you know, publicly conscious, sensitive to all people involved, the human factor as well as the animal factors. And it just seems to be, you know, it's the same Humane Society, but the consciousness of the public, I think, changes over time, and the Humane Society seems to be really in tune with that change, that evolution, if you will, of public consciousness about pets and animal keeping. And, you know, I just want to say, you know, it's awesome to have a Humane Society in the local community that's just exactly that way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But Rick, if I had my way, there would be no dogs needing adoption, and therefore there would be no purpose for it. So no offense, Julia, but it would be my dream to put you guys out of work, because I just think there are too many animals that are out there. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on this whole thing. So, Rick, we're going to continue the conversation after the break. And what I'd like to do is bring back into the conversation, Jamie, and I'm going to bring out the crystal ball, which I know is unfair to do for both of you, but if we have to figure out a solution to all of these dogs that are either being treated badly or are needing adoption, I can't think of two ladies anywhere in mid-Michigan that might have a better idea of where we need to go. So that's where we're going to take the conversation right after the break, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million flies.